Every effort to merely draw a line in the sand and declare the past dead has served only to keep the past alive, and often to strengthen it. We compromised with slavery in the Declaration of Independence, and 89 years later, we had buried 600,000 of our sons and brothers in a civil war. After that war's ending, we compromised with the social restructuring and protection of the rights of minorities in the South. And a century later, we had not only not resolved anything, but black leaders were still being assassinated in the cities of the South. We compromised with the trusts of the early 1900s, and today we have corporations too big to fail. We compromised with the Palmer Raids and got McCarthyism, and we compromised with McCarthyism and got Watergate, and we compromised with Watergate, and the junior members of the Ford administration realized how little was ultimately at risk, and they grew up to be Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney.
No more compromises. This week in radical history for the week starting January 26th.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
On this day, January 26th, is a bad day if you are on the other end of the empire building interests of the United States. For on this date in 1911, Honduras was invaded by U.S. forces. And on this date in 1914, Haiti was invaded by U.S. forces. And on this date in 1928, now everybody say this with me, Nicaragua was invaded by U.S. forces. All to protect American interests. Obviously, America has a lot of interests to protect. Also on January 26, 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. arrested for the first time. His home would also be bombed a few days later. Also on this date in 1969, Edwin Pratt, director of the Seattle Urban League, is assassinated. Police involvement is widely suspected. No arrest was ever made in this case. Also on this day in history, January 26, 1998, President Clinton would famously say the following.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Of course, the residue stains on Monica Lewinsky's blue dress would prove that yet another politician is lying. As the president is distracted, the neocons sweep in. For also on this date, in 1998 as well, the Project for New American Century is a pressure group established by, among others, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, Louis Libby, Elliot Abrams, all of whom, except the president's brother, were senior officials in the U.S. government. A statement of principles issued to the project, signed by these men on this day, assert that the key challenges for the United States is to shape the new century favorable to American principles and interests. Again, we always have a lot of interest. This requires a military that is strong and ready to meet both present and future challenges, a foreign policy that boldly and purposefully promotes American principles abroad, you know, like torture and rendition, and national leadership that accepts the United States' global responsibilities, like taking more resources from other countries. Almost every one of these neocon chicken hawks never served a day in the military.
Roll call!
Bush.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk.
Chicken hawk.
Proud to be a chicken hawk. Watch while I bring the mark. Receive to all Iraq. I didn't walk the walk, but I can talk the talk.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
This week in radical history for January 27, 1606 in England, the trial and conviction of Guy Fawkes and his fellow conspirators, the Gunpowder Plotters, in London. Also on January 27, 1903, police arrest Emma Goldman and Max Beginsky in New York City for being suspicious persons. They'd be released after questioning. Also on this day, the Paterson Silk Strike of 1913 occurred, which involved workers in a silk mill in Paterson, New Jersey. Led by Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, the strikers demanded 8-hour workday and improving working conditions. During the course of the strike, approximately 1,850 strikers were arrested. And despite a long holdout and fundraising efforts, the strike ended in failure. Also on January 27, 1934 in Russia, Joe Stalin announces his fear that the Great Depression will lead capitalists to war. Of course, Stalin would be correct on this one. Also on a state in 1957, for the second time this year, Martin Luther King Jr.'s home would be bombed.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
Lastly, on this date in 1972, Gordon Liddy's first plan for the disruption of the 1972 Democratic Convention calling for, quote, mugging squads, kidnapping teams, prostitutes to compromise the opposition, and electronic surveillance is presented to Attorney General Mitchell, the highest law enforcement officer in the United States government. This week in radical history for January 28th, only have two items. 1853 in Cuba, revolutionist Jose Martin lives in Havana, a Cuban poet, essayist, journalist who became symbol of Cuban struggle for independence. The popular song you're about to hear is based on a poem by Martin. One of his many popular quotes was, "No man has any special right because he belongs to any specific race. Just by saying the word man, we have already said all the rights."
C'était un homme des routes, c'était un frère sans doute. Il n'avait ni lien ni place, et sur les routes de l'exil, sur les sentiers, sur les places, il me parlait de sa ville.
Guantanamera, ma ville Guantanamera. Guantanamera, ma ville Guantanamera.
Yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma. Y antes de morir me quiero echar mis versos del alma. Mi verso es de un verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es un cielo herido que busca en el monte amparo. Con los pobres de la tierra quiero yo mi suerte echar. El arroyo de la sierra me complace más que el mar. Reste toute la terre, mais je n'en demandais pas autant. Quand j'ai passé la frontière, il n'y avait plus rien devant. J'allais d'escale en escale, loin de ma terre natale.
Guantanamera, ma ville Guantanamera.
This week in radical history for January 29th, 1737, true American revolutionist Thomas Paine lives. Unlike the so-called founding fathers, he dies in obscurity, but still a revolutionary. Quote, "Let them call me a rebel and welcome. I feel no concern for it, but I should suffer the misery of the devil were I to make a whore of my soul." Thomas Paine is writer of many books, including Common Sense and The Age of Reason. In that book, he talked about Christianity, and he said this, "I do not believe in the creed professed by the Jewish Church, the Roman Church, by the Greek Church, by the Turkish Church, by the Protestant Church, nor by any church that I know of. My own mind is my own church. All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human invention set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit." Once again, showing how much of a myth it is that this country is founded on Christianity or any other faith for that matter. Also on January 29th, 1907, forced sterilization legislation for eugenics and punitive reasons is introduced in Indiana. Also on that date in 1912, during the Bread and Roses strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts, police kill Anna Lopiezo. 19 witnesses see an officer named Benoit fire the fatal shot, but strike leaders Joseph Ettore and anarchist Arturo Giovannetti, 3 miles away at the time, are arrested and held for 8 months as accessories. The city declare martial law and bring in 22 extra militia companies. The mill owners who had predicted the quick end of the strike after Lopiezo's death and the arrest of the labor organizers, well, they were surprised when, a few days later, a group of enraged Italian women happened upon a lone police officer on Icy Bridge. After stripping him of his gun, club, and badge, they sliced his officer's suspenders and took off his pants, a humiliation technique popular with the disorderly women of Lawrence. They then dangled the officer over a frozen river. That put to end all hopes by the mill owners that the strike would end quickly. Also on this date in 1944, the execution of anarchists continued under Hitler as anarchist Gerard de Vergy is arrested and tortured by the Gestapo in occupied France. Also on this date in 1975, bomb explosion set off by the left-wing Weathermen Underground, damaging 20 rooms in Washington State's department building. Lastly, on this date in 1996, in England, four women plowshare activists caused millions of dollars in damage, disarming a British aerospace F-16 fighter jet designated to be sold to Indonesia for use in an illegal occupation and genocide of East Timor. The women will later be acquitted of all charges on the grounds of preventing a greater crime. That's one for the good side. This week in radical history for January 30th, only have a couple items. 1943, the Royal Air Force makes the first daylight raid on Berlin during World War II, a saturation attack on Hamburg. Remember, folks, it's only the bad guys, not the good guys, who kill and terrorize civilians en masse. Also on this date in 1964, South Vietnam, new military junta backed by the U.S. takes over, part of the U.S. plan to save democracy. Also on this date in 1973, James McCord and G. Gordon Libby of Nixon's re-election committee found guilty of the Watergate burglary and wiretap attempt. Libby, a right-wing dandy and Rush wannabe, has his own talk show and now is listened to over 160 stations nationwide. The right wing loved their crooks. Also on this date in 1978 in Barcelona, 50 anarchists are arrested, accused of the dastardly crime of attempting to reconstitute the FAI, Iberian Anarchist Federation. Fascist Franco is dead, but the old fears of powerful revolutionary organization reemerging persists. This week in radical history for January 31st, 1606 again, Guy Fawkes, the only man to enter Parliament with honest intentions in London, jumps to his death moments before his execution for treason, cheating the state out of its glory.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Governments, like in 1876 in the United States, when the federal government orders all Native Americans to move the reservations or be declared hostile. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this date, 1863, the Bear River Massacre occurred around present-day Utah. 3 years before this, a group of Shoshone under Chief Bear Hunter were forced off their land by Mormon farmers. When the young men of the tribe retaliated against the white settlers, American armed troops were called on to punish the Shoshone. The Shoshone fought back until their ammunition ran out, at which point American soldiers rushed them and began shooting. About 250 Shoshone were slain, women were raped, and American soldiers used axes to bash in the heads of already injured women and children. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on this date, in 1899, prevented from delivering her lecture today, Authority versus Liberty, Emma Goldman comrades print and distribute 5,000 copies of the manifesto containing the text of the anarchist feminist bard speech, Let Freedom Ring. Also on January 31st, 1924, George Popov, a Bulgarian teacher, poet, speaker, and anarchist organizer, dies. Popov initiated an insurrectionary movement against the coup of June 1923, which was quelled after weeks of fighting against the army. Popov took refuge in the mountains, forming guerrilla anarchist groups. When his hiding place was discovered, he committed suicide rather than fall in the hands of the army. Also on this date in 1963, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara declares, quote, "The war in Vietnam is going well and will succeed," unquote. Like the Iraq War announcements, it's like deja vu all over again. Also on this date in 1971, the Winter Soldiers hearings begin at Howard Johnson's Motel in Detroit. Sponsored by a group of Vietnam veterans against the war, the hearings are an attempt by soldiers who have served in Vietnam to publicize U.S. conduct in the war. The veterans testify that the My Lai Massacre is not the only isolated incident and that American troops have committed atrocities. More than 100 veterans, in fact, testify of the brutal U.S. acts. Oregon Senator Mark Hatfield will enter the Winter Soldiers hearings into congressional record, but, otherwise, the proceeding captured little attention. Lastly, on this date in 1997, four critical mass protesters arrested and five police officers injured when police attack a peaceful bike protest in downtown Seattle. Critical Mass started in San Francisco in 1992 and has spread to other cities since. Though they have no leaders, they are constantly harassed by the man. Typically, these bike rides are held on last Friday of each month, now in well over 300 cities worldwide. This month's last Friday is January 30th. Come out and join the fun. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. Today, February 1st, is the beginning of Black History Month. Back in 1926, a man named Carter Woodson fought hard to get a national week of recognition for African American history. Woodson saw this as an opportunity to raise the consciousness of both the black communities and the white communities about the culture and the struggle of persons of African descent in the New World. Although there has been legitimate critique on the way America handles Black History Month, Woodson's struggle was originally to institutionalize the study of Afro-American and African societies and cultures in a world where they were largely ignored. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
More radical history for February 1st, 1844. During this month, the noble anarchist Mikhail Bakunin is summoned by the Tsar to return to Russia. He moves to Paris instead. Ordered home by the Russian government, who want him very bad. At the end of the year, in December of 1844, he'd be stripped of his status as Russian nobility and sentenced in absentia to hard labor in Siberia. Also on February 1st, 1864, the Collar Laundry Union forms in Troy, New York, led by Kate Maloney. A national labor union activist, the union successfully increased earnings for laundryists from $2 to $14 a week. Also on February 1st, 1886, Manuel Pardines lives. Anarchist gunman who assassinated Prime Minister for his 1912 role in the suppression of the railroad strike. He then turned the gun on himself. Propaganda of the deed. Also on the state in 1951, Alfred Krupp and 28 German war criminals freed by U.S. occupiers in Germany. Krupp came from a long line of aristocracy in Germany and was convicted of using civilian slaves in his factories during the war and was convicted at the Nuremberg trials. And of course, the U.S. would free elites of Germany. Also on a state in 1960, sit-ins begin when four black students in Greensboro, North Carolina, refused to move from the Woolworth lunch counter when denied service. By September 1961, more than 70,000 students, whites and blacks, will be participating in sit-ins. This event follows 16 similar demonstrations in the past 3 years. 16 sit-ins spread to 15 cities in North and South Carolina, Florida, Virginia, and Tennessee. By February's end, 31 southern cities in 8 states are embroiled. It is also during this month that the media discovers Tennessee black sharecroppers who have been evicted from their farms for daring to register to vote. Lastly, in 1968, famous photo of Saigon police chief executing a Viet Cong officer with a pistol shot to the head. During police actions following the first day of the Tet Offensive in South Vietnamese, security official is captured on film executing the Viet Cong prisoner by American photographer Eddie Adams. The Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph becomes yet another rallying point for anti-war protests. Despite later claims that the prisoner had been accused of murdering Saigon police officer and his family, the image seems to call into question everything claimed and assumed about American allies in South Vietnam. What? The government will lie about going to war? And our allies that support us? Unheard of.
You're probably too young to know, but the Empire is always in some kind of peril.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced this week at the Glee Glee Studios West location. Much of the radical info came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Inspiration for the show came from the awesome work done on the Slingshot Organizer. Thanks again to this week's Radio Roots crew at WBI in New York for their awesome audio I borrowed. I promise to return it soon. Gripes, comments, or suggestions, please consider dropping me a line at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Cannon is spelled C-A-N-N-O-N, and that's all one long run-on word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Thanks for tuning into this week's show, and as always, I'm passionately and eternally yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Like a monkey ready to be shot into space. Space monkey. Ready to sacrifice himself for the greater good.
like a crazy person.
I'm quite sure they will say so.